This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The sort of the storm cabinet working group is on a call last night trying to make these decisions. You're looking at, in particular, this evening's commute really sloppy. So you've got considerations on largely moving people around. What drives us? Safety and security of our kids, of our fellow residents and citizens, neighbors, and frankly, social media doesn't enter into it one bit.
If you're listening to me in the Mid-Atlantic states, you recognize that voice. That is the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, who took some backlash on social media because of the closures, the warnings about the severe weather. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney stuck in that severe weather in Atlantic City, making my way back to the satellite facility, though, very soon as I'm on a flight coming up early on Thursday. But it's been an interesting couple of days as we have the whole projections of what's going to happen and what it's going to look like in the Midwest and in the Mid-Atlantic areas. And I'm going to tell you more about that. As you heard the governor saying, it was pretty sloppy, the commute. There's no questions about that because you had snow and then you had rain. And when you get the ice is the thing that is particularly scary to me. If you get a quarter inch of ice, imagine what it does to branches and power lines and then roads, and then people are out on roads trying to navigate it, and it's brutal. Speaking of navigating, the huge, huge breaking news on the day on Wednesday has to be that finally, after almost 2 years, Robert Mueller's investigation reportedly is wrapping up. So think about it. All the do-re-mi that's been dumped on this investigation as to whether or not the Russians meddled into our elections and who, if anybody, was responsible or complicit in the United States. And of course, some of those innuendos and accusations and everything else surrounding the Trump people. Now you finally have the news that this report is apparently going to be delivered next week. And you've got Congressmen and women up in arms saying they want to make sure that they see a copy of it and they deserve to see a copy of it. And of course, the anticipation of Mueller's deal after we've been waiting for 2 years. But you know what? You might not see it. You and I paid for this puppy, but we probably aren't going to know what's in it. And if we did, it would be redacted beyond belief. But will Congress even get to know what's in it? That's a very, very big question. But apparently the timing is interesting. The president said it's totally up to the Attorney General William Barr whether and whatever they end up doing with the report, what happens there. But the question I want to know is, will we get to read the final report? And the answer is, if we had the magic eight ball, ask again later. And I have asked and asked today because I had nothing but time as I was huddled in place in Atlantic City, calling all my contacts. And, you know, there is a lot of speculation. But now that this investigation into Trump's campaign relationships with Russia coming to a close and the Attorney General William Barr preparing to announce that it's ended, after the announcement, Barr will submit to Congress, allegedly, and he will do the summary of the special counsel's report, and it would certainly encompass a wide-ranging investigation. It spanned 2 years, dozens of indictments, all of this. I mean, this is a week after Barr was sworn in as Attorney General, so you have to figure, I don't know, maybe Mueller was waiting an extra week or two. Who knows? There has been the speculation that he was on the brink of concluding the investigation. Remember, we thought at Christmas time that this was going to wrap up right before Christmas. So the report notes that the employees of the special counsel's office have been carrying boxes and pushing carts full of files out of their offices, so that would make you think, oh, okay, this announcement has to be coming, because why would they be moving their stuff out? They're leaving. But he has to submit this confidential report to the Attorney General. But the Attorney General is not required to submit the report to the public or check this out. And I definitely had conversations about this, even to Congress. So I assumed Congress gets this. No. And then, of course, the president was asked whether the report should be released. That's what I was mentioning before. He said it would be totally up to the new Attorney General. And during his confirmation hearing last month, he refused to comment as to whether or not he was going to release the report. So that started the Democrats getting ready to arm up and say, we want the report. There's been massive, massive speculation over this. And so far, to me, in all the comments that I've gotten from people I know that are in the know, they're telling me, don't think ever in your lifetime you might not see it, but not anytime soon. And you just got to think, you know what, we need a resolution of the issues, but we need to know. I mean, don't we deserve to know? We paid for this. So he's closing up shop, Mueller is, but the transparency is really up to the Attorney General. I'm assuming that's what it would have to be. It would have to be up to him. So now that the Justice Department has prepared this and they're getting ready for this, or they're getting ready for the Mueller report, it's going to take a while to go through it. This isn't like some little overnight read. It's not People magazine. Oh, we'll just kick back and read this. No, it's going to take a while to actually go through this whole thing. This has consumed us for how long? How long do you think this report is? It's got to be, I would say, incredibly lengthy. And then there's going to be an explanation as to why certain people were charged. Who else was investigated? Why weren't they charged? Why didn't they get charged? What did they find out? And of course, for the Trump people, and if with every politician, you're worried or concerned, or your job is to get reelected, so there would have to be some considerations for that, for anybody who's on the president's team. They don't, if it has nothing to do with anything criminal, they're not going to want any of the rest of it that could be politically sensitive released. Of course not. All right, let's jump to the snow. This is what we do know. Snow fell, sleet fell, and it was nasty. In Washington, D.C., a ton of cancellations were all three airports. People flying in, flying out, couldn't get out. Federal offices were closed. There were some emergency workers around, but pretty much that was it. Parts of Virginia were pretty nasty, several inches of snow, followed by what was really deadly, the ice and the sleet. So that's where commuting is terrible. Philadelphia looked like a ghost town in the day. There were people that called in sick, of course. Chicago O'Hare, same thing. There were flights that were canceled there, flights in Philly canceled, flights in D.C. canceled. Not a good situation for anyone who was traveling, certainly. For kids, a lot of kids had off in the South, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Tennessee, Kentucky, too, you're listening. Heavy rains, flash flooding, you know that, and just saturated. There's been so much rain there. Flood watches and warnings, that's the scary part there. So we have definitely been dealing with some pretty wild weather. No question about that. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's 7-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit escaperightnow.com. Do it now. It's free. Escaperightnow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. Escaperightnow.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
I'm so thrilled about our next guest. He's in our virtual green room, and he's talking about something that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion. And I know I've had to deal with this, and it's been tough, and I think it's because I grew up in a house where we never talked about this word, death. We never really talked about it. You know, people that once somebody died, including my father, died when I was 8, there wasn't a lot of discussion. So Ryan McCormick joins us. He is the host of the Outer Limits of Inner Truth radio show, and he just did the Death Show, a 14-part series on healing and understanding. Love that title. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's an honor to be here with you and your listeners, Mr. Delaney. Thank you so much for having me.
So you heard what I said, that I think death is, it's like a dirty word. I mean, we all know that this is the end, no matter how much money we have, no matter what we do in our life. I mean, you know, ultimately we're all going to die. We don't know when. The only discussion when I was a kid that I ever had about death was my great-grandmother, Ryan, said, "You can't do anything about it. I think it's an expiration date that's stamped on your head when you're born." Poof, and that was it. So I love that you explored this. What made you want to do a show on this?
Well, the original motivation for doing this show was that one of my closest friends experienced a horrible tragedy, and I wanted to bring something out of it. I wanted to bring something into the world that would hopefully try to bring some meaning to that tragedy and impact people in a positive way. I'm so sick of everyone saying, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers. I'm like, well, there's got to be something more than that. So what I wanted to do is put together a 14-part series on death, and we covered the first part is just people talking about how they've lost someone, what to do. So I wanted to provide an experience where people can listen to it, they can grow, they can understand, they can bring some kind of semblance or healing. I wanted to ask questions that I guess most people had questions to.
So that's interesting. So you say they had a horrible experience. What happened?
Well, my friend's fiance, he was in a car. His fiance and his mother were killed in an accident, and he walked away. It's horrible. Yeah, and it was just unspeakable. And I'm thinking about that, like, you know, this thing happened, and then a lot of other people have lost someone close to them. So my intention of making this show is, well, what can you say to those people? You know, you just say that the person's in another place, and I just don't want to accept that. So I went up interviewing 65 different people, and then broke it down into 14 parts, and I wanted to provide as much healing, as much understanding as possible. So it's not just my friend, but anyone who's ever lost someone can have a point of reference where it's just not one perspective, but you have 65 other perspectives, and all of them collectively speaking, there's one clear message, and it seems that everything's going to be okay eventually, that this is the biggest part of life you can think about.
And it's interesting because you said you interviewed 65 people and all kinds of people. So tell us about some of the people you interviewed in trying to tackle this really tough subject.
Okay. Well, the first thing is, I was bringing that because I interviewed 7 people who lost someone close to them because I want people to know that they're not alone. And then after that, I focus on grief experts and psychologists so they can give you a clear, concise way from their perspective on what to do when you're walking, you know, you're healing. Then I emphasized and talked to people who've actually died, people who've had near-death experiences. We have 15 people who died and came back, talked about their experiences, what it was like. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the show. And then we also went into talking to scientists about the science nature of death and actually how to develop communication with people who are in spirit. And then the end of the show is there's a 4-way debate with 2 atheists. I wanted to bring them on the show, so I wanted to get a number of different perspectives and put it on there. So hopefully a clear message could be out there. And the idea is that all the things that we've come to know and believe about death probably are not true. And there's so much out there, but it's asking the questions. It's trying to get the answers to those questions that we're all asking, saying, why are we here? Why does this have to happen? You know, is there judgment afterwards? Do we go to heaven? Do we go to hell? Try to focus on tackling all those questions.
Wow, such a broad subject, and congratulations on
thank you
on tackling it that way. And you said it. You said the common thing that you found at the end of this is that it's going to be okay. But what else was revealing to you? Because that's a lot of information. So for you personally in doing this, you always walk away with something. I've interviewed 15,000 people, so I know, right? And you know, you've talked to a lot of people as well. What was the thing that you walked away with?
Well, I'd say there's a couple of quick things. First off, the idea that there is injustice in this world. I see that a lot of things happening. People do horrible things, and then they die, and they don't, you know, see any kind of justice. Apparently, when we die, every action that we bestow upon someone, we experience firsthand. It's called a life review. So there's total justice. And that was revealed by, I think, just about all the people who had a near-death experience. So I think that's probably one of the most important and compelling things. And another thing I learned is that based on the people who have near-death experiences is that we are all apparently one collective being, and the one collective consciousness breaks parts of itself, parts of its perspective up into several different millions or zillions of life beings to give itself the illusion that it's separate. So we are all imaginary characters of one collective being, apparently. And that's part of things. And also, apparently we have an infinite number of evolutions. So we are a human being in this lifetime. We'll probably be something else in another lifetime. That's probably one of the things. Also, I think when it comes to the grief experts, there's just so much more that you can do to help people. And if you're opening yourself up, there are a lot of different ways to help yourself, to heal yourself. So I just think that the whole part of the show is that there's just so much out there. And once we get past the initial fear of not wanting to tackle it, that the answers are there. There's so much more out there. There's so much opportunity to heal.
I love that. And maybe this can really spur on more of that conversation because you did a 14-part series. It was probably hard to try to figure out how to break it down, right? Because you had so much great information. At some point, you have to figure out, okay, what can I leave out or how do I do this?
Oh, no.
That
absolutely
kind of thing.
There's like 70-plus interviews. I think the original show was 22 hours long, so I had to sit down and cut things out and put things in there. And also, it's the energy of the people, too. When you're interviewing someone, you want to make sure that you're putting things together like you're putting together a sheet of music. You want to make sure it flows and it goes well. And when I'm doing a show like this or this capacity, every person has to be contributing something wonderful and amazing. There were some people that we actually were not able to include that to say their expertise wasn't out there, but it just wasn't a fit for it. But I wanted to bring as many people as possible, the best people as possible. So, you know, scientific perspective, it doesn't matter what you believe, what your spiritual beliefs are. You can come, you can listen to this, and there's no judgment. All it is pure information.
Wow, I love that. Pure information. That's a great way to do it. Hey, I'm putting it out here. Here's what I learned. You decide what you think. I'm not telling you how to think, because we live in that world of, what, fake news, or you're on this side, or you're playing on this. So you're not saying you have to think this. These are the ways to look at this. And you even interviewed an author and a 9/11 widow, and I bet that was an interesting interview.
It was a very interesting interview because the intensity of her pain was so relevant, and she was talking about what she had gone through in a firsthand experience. And when you talk to these people who've lost someone close to them, you see the personal tragedy that they've had in their life and what they are doing. I feel like the very beginning of that offers a lot of insight on what people can do to begin the healing process. I think so many times when people lose someone, the first thing they do is that they'll turn to their community, they'll turn, and there's going to be one or two people, or maybe an author says, well, this is my perspective. Again, that's the thing. It's like you get the multiple perspectives on it, and trying to get so many perspectives and condensing it down. Believe it or not, the show is 18 hours long total, 14 parts, 18 hours long, and I still think that that is condensed down from hundreds of hours of information. So trying to get all those main ideas and trying to cram it all into one different show was challenging, but I think the information is all there. And again, when you interview that individual, Lisa Luckett, the 9/11 widow, I think it was a beautiful interview, and she really reveals a lot about what she'd gone through and how to help people.
Yeah, no kidding. And I want to tell everyone, I want to make sure we're speaking with Ryan McCormick, and you need to go to, so you can take a look at this show, so you can listen to it. You know, give yourself some time. It's going to be like a subject where it's kind of like that summer reading. Go to one part, go to the next part, because he did such a great job of editing this. So go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. You'll see it there. And when you laid it out, did you end with the discussion with the atheist, right?
Yes, what I did is that the first 13 shows, and also there's a section in there too, I forgot to mention, is that we focus specifically an entire segment on pet bereavement. So if you've lost a pet, we interviewed grief experts that focus just on pets alone. And that's totally separate. I ended it with atheists. I ended it with skepticism because I wanted to say that, okay, no matter what we've just gone through, everything is subject to question. So I made that part to challenge everything else that just happened in the program. And the key about it is that I think that, you know, no matter what our beliefs are, it should always be challenging, always be thoroughly asking, even if these beliefs are true to us. So, I mean, as far as my beliefs go, I'm always challenging, always questioning them because, you know, there could be another thing out there, another part of the puzzle we don't see.
Wow. So. What a great conversation. Please go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. Check it out. Ryan McCormick, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Blaine. It's a great honor to be with you and your listeners.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Police in Chicago are now calling actor Jesse Smollett a suspect in connection with his claims that he was attacked 3 weeks ago. WBBM reporter Bob Roberts.
Police have grown increasingly skeptical about the Empire Star's accusation that two men taunted him with homophobic slurs, put a noose around his neck, beat him, and doused him with bleach. Now the Chicago Police Department is tweeting that detectives have gone before a grand jury with the intent of seeking a felony charge of filing a false report, which could send him to prison for up to 3 years if convicted.
The two men who were arrested in the case told investigators they were paid by Smollett to stage the assault. President Trump was asked if he had any problems should Special Counsel Robert Mueller issue his report on the Russia probe next week while he's out of town meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
By John Leonidakis, who is a name you would recognize if you went to Cooperstown. I did a show from Cooperstown, so I knew exactly who John was, and I say that because he's been producing award-winning media experiences, etc., in entertainment for a long time. You can see some of his stuff at Disney theme parks, that kind of stuff. If you've been in Seattle, the Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, etc. When I mentioned Cooperstown, he's got a bunch of films in the permanent collection there, and I remember this one about the World Series, which was really stuck with me, you know, so big. I remember it was called The Day the World Series Stopped, etc. So I want to dive into baseball with him because there's an interesting question that looms, and it's about women and baseball and teams. So the overall question is, should the United States have professional women's baseball league like they do in Japan? John, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. It's good to be with you.
And I should say this, too, and we'll talk about this. You have The Sweet Spot that's coming out, which is a documentary, right, that talks about the human side of baseball.
Yes, we actually have two seasons up already on Amazon and Roku and Vimeo on demand. And
awesome.
The first TV series to look at the human side of the game, and our mission is to preserve baseball history, celebrate a love of the game, and share stories that transcend sport and capture the imagination. I want to transform how we think about baseball and go beyond the box scores and stats to reveal the humanity that's woven into the game we love.
Oh, I'm going to go look at that as soon as I'm wrapping up this interview with you. So the question is, why don't or why can't American girls and women play baseball?
Well, they have faced institutional discrimination for well over 100 years. And American society and culture has just never been comfortable with women playing what they deem to be a man's sport. And because softball really grew teeth in the 70s to become the institution that it is today, you know, it provides college scholarships and opportunities for women to go to college. It has served as an obstruction for girls and women who want to develop their talents and skills as baseball players. And baseball is a very different game than softball, but softball has developed to the point where it is a major institution in this country. So it's very difficult for American women to get the development, training, and time with good coaching that you get as you advance through high school and college. And because they're effectively shut out from that, they don't get to develop their skills as baseball players. And so they're stuck in a never-ending do loop. And there are some little cracks being formed in what we call the old boys network, where some American values and traditions are starting to change a little bit with a little bit of forward thinking going on. And we have a little bit of a grassroots movement with some organizations that are providing opportunities for girls and women to not only play baseball, but to also coach and umpire the Little League, because really this is all tied to the larger issue of gender discrimination in the United States.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about there's a little bit of cracks. As you say that, I'm thinking, John, there must be interest in this. There must be plenty of women or girls that are interested in being more involved in baseball and actually doing it or umpiring or that kind of thing, right?
Baseball is very popular among women in America as spectators, and now we're seeing there are more and more girls playing Little League Baseball, and there are some terrific players out there, and there's an organization called Baseball for All that's been going on now 10, 13 years, being run by Justine Siegel, who was the first woman to pitch batting practice for Major League Baseball teams and the first woman to coach a Major League Baseball team. She was a pitching coach for the Oakland A's during fall ball in 2015. And Justine has a national baseball tournament, I should say Baseball for All does, and they just had their third tournament, where the Rockford Peaches used to play the old All-American Girls Professional Baseball League team. And they drew well over 200 girls from North America, and quite possibly could have been the largest gathering of American girls and women to play baseball in a tournament in the United States.
Wow. You know, and it's so interesting as I think about this. Somebody I remember, because of course I do sports on NBC Sports Radio, a syndicated show, and it's funny you say women in the United States like baseball. I grew up in outside of Philly, and I grew up watching the Philadelphia Phillies. I grew up in that baseball culture, so I didn't play, but it's interesting. I agree with you. I think a lot of women are interested in the game, no question about it, even if they don't play. So the question is, There was a woman that was awarded an athletic college baseball scholarship for baseball, then actually went on to be the first woman to pitch a complete game in a men's professional baseball. Who was that woman, and where is she now? Because I don't know who that is.
That's Isla Borders. And Isla was a left-handed pitcher who was a terrific athlete and baseball player. She played on her boys' high school team, got an opportunity to get a college athletic scholarship to play baseball at South Coast College here in the Los Angeles area. And she was the first woman to win a college baseball game as a pitcher. And then she moved on to pitch in the independent Northern League, where she worked with Mike Beck and the St. Paul Saints.
Yep.
And then she moved on from there to the Duluth Dukes. And on July 24th, 1998, Isla pitched a complete game victory, 3-1, over the Sioux Falls Canaries. And she notched the first victory for a woman to pitch a game on a men's team in a professional league since 1955, when I believe we had there was a Negro League pitcher. There were women who played in the Negro Leagues who were excellent, people like Toni Stone and Mamie Peanut Johnson. But Isla is really an iconic figure, not only for women in baseball, but for baseball in general, because of the persistence and the dedication and the courage. People have no idea the amount of abuse that is heaped on girls and women when they try to play baseball on boys and men's team. Coaches and fans and parents, they get on these people like you'd never see most other players. And some of them have faced physical assault and a kind of abuse that is shocking. I interviewed a number of women and girls who play the game, their parents, the coaches and umpires, and I think people would be absolutely shocked at the emotional trauma inflicted upon these people simply because they had the temerity to want to play our national pastime with boys and men.
Wow. And, you know, as we keep examining this and you talk about the whole gender idea and baseball and, as you say, the terrible abusive situations that people put up with or women put up with, do you think the culture changes eventually? Because this is what we're talking about and this is what we started talking about. How long does that take if we do see it change?
Well, I think it starts in youth. And Justine Siegel has a great comment. She says, when boys play with girls, you show you respect them. And when you do that at an early age, it all becomes a social function where everybody is seen as being on a level playing field. So when you start them young and they continue to play and are allowed to play and develop beyond Little League, such as in Canada, girls baseball, girls are encouraged to play baseball beyond that, and they play on mixed sex teams in all the way up to the beginning of adolescence. And then beyond that, they have the option of going on to boys teams if they wish, but many times they choose to be on all girls teams up there in Canada. Mm. But girls teams play boys teams in Canada as they both progress through the season, and they often play each other in the playoffs. And this is why Canada has developed an excellent national program for their teams. And we see this in Japan, which is dominant. I mean, Japan now has a professional women's baseball league. And Australia is another country where they're able to develop at a very early age, and they also have a very strong national baseball team. But in some of these other countries, they're not rooted in the sort of, you know, the rooted in the past where, you know, baseball is for boys and softball is for girls. They don't have that in Canada. They don't have that in Australia. They don't have that in Japan. So all those girls are able to develop unfettered and become the tremendous athletes and develop their gifts to become bona fide baseball players. And the United States is behind the curve on that. It's getting better. We have a very good national program here with Team USA. But it's going to take some time for girls and women to develop as baseball players to the point to where the quality of the game will be strong enough to where we can have our own professional league. And, you know, you need to have that television contract. But as we've seen with other national women's teams here in the United States, like the women's soccer team, as far back as 1998, they sold out the Rose Bowl. Over 90,000 fans saw those American women play China for the gold medal in the Women's World Cup. So women's sports, as I'm sure you know, can draw fans and can draw revenue and advertisers. It just needs the opportunity to develop the talent. And we're starting to get there with the U.S. women and girls, but they've had to beat back this gender discrimination piece. And like I say, we're starting to see some cracks in the foundation that has prevented them from evolving. But it's going to take a little bit more time. And, you know, as a matter of fact, that you can count on two hands the total number of women that have played baseball on men's teams at the college level. And
wow,
we're talking well over 100 years. So that gives you an idea of where we are in the scheme of things.
John, it's fascinating talking to you about baseball. And we're speaking with John Leonidakis, who has this incredible streaming documentary series called The Sweet Spot. John, we're going to continue with you coming up in our next segment here on ATN.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tehiba tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tehiba tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehiba tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Detoxify, lose weight, and restore balance to your body by simply drinking tea. Surprised? Dr. Miller's Holy Tea can help you feel better and even lose weight because Holy Tea is a unique herbal tea blend of all natural ingredients specially formulated by Dr. Bill Miller. Call this number, 888-660-7039, or click drmillersclinic.com. Take the first step toward better health. Drink tea from Dr. Miller's Clinic.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DV Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Recently, Warren Buffett has officially gone on record to say that his public speaking course was probably the greatest business class he ever took. So today, we're going to talk with a presentation skills expert who also happens to be a top-ranked peak performance expert, Delatora McNeil, about how we can take our public speaking and presentation skills to the next level. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Delatora, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate and George, thanks so much for having me. It's a tremendous honor to be with you today.
So tell us a little bit about your journey that's led you to this place of being a top speaker and also obviously a speaker trainer.
You know, this has actually been a pretty long journey for me. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom was an English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. So if you were going to be Olivia's son, you had to be articulate. You had to speak. So I remember getting the longest parts in the Easter play and Christmas play and all kinds of things. And so my mom raised me to be articulate. Now, I asked her years later when I became a speaker, did she know that she was raising a professional speaker? And she said, I have no clue, baby. But I give a lot of credit and honor to my mom because she was way more than a parent. She was my first mentor. And I was able to go on to do pretty good in school. I went to Florida State University. I got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years with a 4.0 with zero student loan debt. And I learned in college that I had leadership capabilities. And as a result of being a student leader in college, I had to do a lot of public speaking for orientation, for residence life, for a lot of different organizations I was a member of. I had to do a lot of public speaking. And so my mentor in college was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Jones, and he told me to get involved in Toastmasters. So interestingly enough, Kate, I became a member of Toastmasters in graduate school in college. And I started going to weekly meetings, and I kept winning the best speaker award. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so I knew one day that I wanted to be a speaker, but I'm like, I have to have a career in something first. So I came out of college and took a career working for Anderson, which is a big peak performance consulting organization. Worked there for 1 year, and that didn't work out. So I took a job at the University of South Florida, and I worked there for 2 years teaching public speaking. And I was like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I taught at the university for 2 years. And in 2003, I left the university and went full-time as a speaker. And I've been full-time ever since, and I've had a chance to give over 3,000 paid presentations all around the world. I was inducted as a CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional designation. I'm one of the youngest in the world to earn that at the age of 33 when I got it. And I had a chance to just, I've created my own inspirational business reality television show called The Keynote. And this year, I was the opening keynote speaker for the Toastmasters World Convention in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we've done a tremendous amount in the area of public speaking and presentation. And year to date, we've literally personally mentored over 300 C-suite executives, speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs, and helped them get a fast start in the professional speaking industry.
You know, it's interesting, Del Toro, when I hear you speak about how you got to where you are today. I mean, it's always interesting to hear where people get their quote-unquote big break. And your big break came, it sounds like, from an organization that anybody can join today, which is Toastmasters. And just as an aside, I have to tell the both of you how significant the role of Toastmasters has been in my life. I was a Toastmaster for a lot of years. I think I do well in the medium of radio because of it. There's a thing called table topics where you get put on the spot and you have to speak, you know, extemporaneously or spontaneously, which is what we're doing right now, right? But I just want to share with you guys one other thing that came out of a visit I had with I was visiting some friends in a city. They were Toastmasters. I went to their Toastmasters club. And I fell in love, love at first sight, with a woman in their club, and she's now my wife. So if you've ever thought about going to a Toastmasters club to make a dramatic change in your life, I think between the two of us we can say great things can happen there if you just show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Warren Buffett agrees with you because he actually requires all of his top business students to take a Toastmasters international course. So it's really, really remarkable. It's so funny, Greg, that you mentioned that. And that's a powerful story. I actually had a cinematographer follow me around at the World Convention because it was 20 years later after joining Toastmasters in college that I had a chance to be the opening keynote for the World Convention and speak to Toastmasters from all over the world, from 120 countries. It was remarkable. So we captured that, and we're working on a documentary right now. But I firmly believe that any business professional who wants to take their presentation skills to the next level really needs to spend a little time in a Toastmasters course because it's a great organization to help you polish your public speaking and presentation skills.
Del Toro, of all the people, because you talked about this, you talked about the C-suite, the 300 C-suite people that you've really mentored, let's face it, and took them through that journey, and so many other people that you've influenced on this speaking path and teaching them presentation, you know, how to have these powerful presentations. What do you find people are the most intimidated about when you first deal with them in any of the classes or any of the retreats or anything that you hold?
It's a remarkable question, Kate. And the number one thing, if people say they have, because you gotta realize, public speaking is the number one fear in America, Canada, and other parts of the world. But what I've learned and realized, and this is so powerful, I've never read this in a book, I firmly believe this. People don't have a fear of public speaking. They have a fear of other fears associated to public speaking. So in other words, people have a fear of being judged. People have a fear of being critiqued. People have a fear of not looking good. People have a fear of not sounding good. People have a fear of their own voice. People have a fear of too many eyeballs out. People have a fear of their PowerPoint going down. People have a fear of technology failing them. What I've realized is that most people, when I ask them, I say, what are you really afraid of when it comes to giving your presentation? Well, I just don't want to look bad. I don't want to sound bad. I don't want people to like my outfit. I don't want my technology to not work. So it's not a fear of public speaking. It's really, that is a blanket for like 20 other fears that people have that they kind of disguise as public speaking. And so what I help people understand is that they need to replace the word I'm nervous with this. You have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I guarantee you, if you begin to start to say, you know what, instead of saying, oh my gosh, those feelings that get in my stomach are nerves and I'm nervous. No, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm pumped. I'm charged. I have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I'm getting ready to rock this presentation. And if you say that to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, I am incredible. I know my material. I know my content. I'm getting ready to go serve this audience, and they are going to get a massive amount of value out of what I have to share. When you come from that place, attitude is everything. I guarantee you, you'll present better.
We're talking with Del Toro L. McNeil. He's ranked one of the best motivational speakers in the world. And Del Toro, I want to ask you this really important question to follow up on what you just said, which is, you know, what is the cost to me if I don't do what it takes to become a better speaker? How does it impact my career? How does it impact my ability, if I'm a manager, to manage my people, to move up? And, you know, if you look at my story, it might even be impacting your personal life. I met my wife at a Toastmasters club. What are the costs of not doing what you're suggesting?
The costs are astronomical, and that's an incredible question, Greg, because here's what I firmly believe. There is a massive misconception in the business marketplace that I want to correct in this interview. Most times when I ask people, do they need to work on their public speaking and presentation skills, they say, yes, I do. But they automatically followed up with, but I don't want to be a Les Brown. I don't see myself as a Tony Robbins. I don't see myself as a Kate Delaney. I don't see myself as a Maya Angelou. I don't see myself as Oprah. And what they don't understand is that they're confusing the industry with the skill set. And you can't confuse the industry with the skill set. The truth is, public speaking and presentation is a skill. Just like negotiation is a skill. Leadership is a skill. Project management is a skill, right? Networking is a skill. Public speaking is a skill. And so if you choose to not develop this skill, it has astronomical impacts on your career, because the truth is, people that have strong presentation skills earn 65% more than those that don't. Studies also let us know that you're more promotable. You are more recession-proof. You're more cross-trainable if you have the ability to be the one to give the sales presentation, to give the summary of the meeting, to give the analysis of the activity, to be the one to rally the team. If you are the one in your organization that can give the presentation, you're seen as more credible, more confident, more valuable to the organization. And the truth is, even in everyday life, whether we're parents, whether we're dating, whether we're on Facebook Live, whether we're on Twitter, whether we're on Instagram, we're all doing public speaking every single day, whether you're in front of an audience of one or whether you're in front of an audience of 100,000. It does not matter. Every day we're using the skill, whether we realize it or not. When you go into the post office and you ask for your package to be shipped and you're speaking to someone on the other side of the counter and 10 people are behind you waiting, that's public speaking. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we realize it or not. Every time a waiter or waitress comes up to you and tells you about the restaurant and tells you about the specials, that was a speech. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we acknowledge it or not. So the cost is astronomical if we don't develop our skill set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love your example. Boy, this has been so good that we want to have you back for a second part. Can we do that, Del Toro?
I'd be honored.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about some of the things that people could probably apply right now to take their presentation skills to the next level. As you say, you make such a great point when you're talking about everybody has these fears, and some of them are unfounded, but also the fact that, you know, whether you're a waiter or a waitress, that's a great example, you're still dealing with the public, you're still speaking, and there's just so many, many misconceptions. So this has been fantastic, Greg. We're going to bring Del Toro back for another edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea
tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.